Look at that bonus episode of the podcast.
Yeah. So we're recording this on race day, on Runner Runner Winner Winner Day. Yeah. And it's all sort of said and done, and we've all had a couple of drinks. And we were like, why not just record a podcast for people to sort of talk about it? Damn, Maury already. Maury, what are you drinking? What were you drinking? Mudslides?
Mudslide. Vodka mudslide.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Right before I hit record, all you heard was mudslide out of your
listen,
ass.
Listen, man, you got to celebrate, right? But there's work to be done. So welcome this to a special podcast where we just want to sort of go through some of the things from Roz and Mocha's Runner Runner Winner Winner. Obviously, the results are in. Mocha came out victorious.
Easily.
Why don't we play? Do we have the audio? Could we play the audio?
All right. Here we go.
They are getting ready. Here we go. It is happening.
Set.
Oh, Mocha pulls out. Mocha pulls out quickly. Mocha pulls out quickly. They are around the corner. They are around the corner. Mocha, good form. Good form. They are neck and neck.
Shen is coming up. He's getting a little bit extra.
Mocha's got it.
And then Shem, when Shem crossed the finish line, he collapsed. Like, he rolled like 10 feet.
My leg gave out.
So Shem, let's start with you real quick. So what happened at the finish line?
Yeah, my leg gave out, honestly. Yeah. My right leg. Again, I know people are going to hear this and think I'm making an excuse.
Uh-huh.
But I tore my right ass. Right? That's what we know. And that right side has been tender.
Yeah.
And it just gave up. It just went a little bit like numb, and then it just buckled and fell.
At what point when we were racing, in your mind were you like, oh crap, like,
so let me talk you through
the pain,
it. So,
like, the pain is here now.
Firstly, on the start.
Yeah.
Right? When pushing off on those blocks, which by the way are really tough to do.
I don't
know
why you wanted to do that. Like, I think you would have really wanted if you started standing up.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
And so I stumbled a little bit on the start, but then I was like, all right, around that bend, if you look at the video, I look ridiculous going around the bend. So that curve screwed me up completely. Yeah. But about, like, I don't know, like 30, 40 meters in, when I was catching up, I was like, oh, I got him. Yeah. I totally got him. Because it was, you know, because Mocha had a decent lead. I had to give Mocha credit. He had a very, very good lead to start the race.
Clean start.
And he was smooth out the block. But I was, you know, like a stallion coming down the final stretch there. I felt like I had him. I really felt like I had him, and then the leg just gave out.
I just want to talk about the production for a little bit of what that was to put all that together, that race. So it was crazy because we all work so closely together in here on this show, and it was very important for the production behind the scenes to maintain the integrity of the race, meaning Mocha and Shem weren't involved in the sort of larger picture production of what was going on, because in order for it to be sort of fair and to maintain the integrity, we treated them as sort of like the runners, like the athletes. Although, if you notice in the entire production of this, I never once referred to either of you as athletes. Yeah, it was only runners. But it was important for you.
Wait, is there a reason for that? Because that's on my notes. to bring that up with you.
It was important to sort of, so you guys could maintain that focus, so the race could be as pure as it could be. So when it came to, you know, producing this up, it took weeks and weeks and weeks to sort of, you know, we had six cameras down there and a drone and Ivanka from Sportsnet and we like seven live microphones going on at the same time, and it was important that Shem and Mocha just showed up at the facility at the Pan Am Center in their gear and were able to just sort of like cruise around and warm up. Like, you guys both had headphones on the whole time while we were producing up this like big giant show just so you guys could run.
And we didn't even speak to each other, right?
Nothing.
Like, at all. We were both very much in our zone. Mocha was warming up on one side of the track. I was on a completely other side of the track.
Yeah.
Doing our own thing. I don't know what music you were listening to, but
yeah, that was my next question is, you guys both had headphones on. What were you listening to, Mocha?
I had created like a playlist. You did. All like hype songs.
Yeah.
And right before the race, I was listening to a Nipsey Hussle song.
Oh, wow.
Grinding All My Life.
Okay, what were you listening to, Sean?
I see why he won. I was listening to gospel music.
You were?
I listened to Kirk Franklin.
Wow.
And then Marvin Sapp's Never Would Have Made It, which is a great song. My thought process was, rather than get too hyped up and get, you know, the adrenaline going and maybe screw up, I was calm myself and center
ask
myself.
Ask the Lord for help? Well, guess who didn't show up? For you, the Lord.
There was one disaster that was averted, and because Maury was the one who did all the initial sight checks. Because we were out at the Pan Am Center in Scarborough, which is a beautiful facility.
Gorgeous.
But as we talked about during the broadcast, in order to race 100, because it's an indoor track, you guys had to start around a corner.
Yeah.
You had to do 30 around a corner and then 70 in a straightaway. And you'll notice in the video that the finish line where you guys hit 100 is like Mocha crosses the finish line, and when Maury's there at the finish line interviewing Mocha, they're outside instantly, and it looks weird. But the reasoning for that was because that finish line is about 10 feet away from all the security doors. And
I would even say less.
Okay, less. Maybe 8 feet to the security doors. And I remember the conversation that Maury and I were having with the people at the facility was, because those are security doors, there was a chance that we wouldn't have been able to open those. So basically, you guys crossed the finish line and then ran outside because momentum was carrying you. But there was a moment where we were like, maybe we won't be allowed to open those.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that, Maury?
Oh, yeah. So at that point, like, what would happen?
You can't get into a hard stop at that point. You crash into the door.
So we were like, what can you guys run into? Like, can we get big giant mats and put them there? Like, what can we do? And then finally they were like, you can open two, right? And it just so happened that the two doors that we could open at the end of the track were right in line with your two lanes that you raced in. And as we know, Mocha was the only one that made it outside because Shem sort of rolled that last 10 feet.
So the three songs right before we started to race I listened to was Shook Ones by Mobb Deep.
Sunny shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look, they shook.
Hate Me Now by Nas.
You can hate me now, QB, but I won't stop now, cause I can't stop now.
And then Grinding All My Life from Nipsey Hussle.
Wow.
R.I.P.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life.
Wow. Marvin Sapp never would have made it.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you.
Yeah.
Kirk Franklin Smile. Oh God, I don't remember what the other one was. The best is yet to come.
It didn't come. Damon, Maury, what do you remember from the race? What's your sort of highlight?
I remember Shem was very sweaty.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we gotta talk. That's on my notes as well. Sweaty Shem.
Shem was so sweaty when Shem was on the ground and Maury was doing the interview while Mocha was over, sort of just before Mocha got his winner medal. When Shem was on the ground, like, it was running off him like he had just walked out of the shower and lied on a bed. Like, it was running off him. And then when he came over to get his medal, I don't know if you touched him, Maury. Did you touch him at all?
No, okay, this is the only time I've ever, like, cringe when Shem touched me. But he put his arm on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Like, so wet.
So sweaty.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't even sweat. It was wet.
Listen, I was pumped up and also clearly out of shape. So it is what it is.
So, Shem, do you regret challenging me?
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
No.
Hell no.
Wow. You don't regret it at all.
Mocha, please. Are you surprised that it was that close?
I actually am because at one point, because I'm going to ask you from your perspective how you saw everything, Roz.
Yeah.
But at one point, right before we got to, like, the desk where you and Ivanka from Sportsnet were sitting.
Yes.
I saw, because Shem was wearing, if you watch the video, Shem's wearing a neon green or neon
yellow.
Shirt.
Yeah.
And my right peripheral, I could see a little bit behind, I noticed a little shimmer of yellow. And when I noticed that, I was like, oh, crap. So I, like, gassed it a little bit more. And that's what like helped me push ahead and then win.
So if Shem was wearing black, maybe you wouldn't have kicked into that other gear and he would have come
out. You know
out,
what? Yeah? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I just know I noticed something. It was yellow. It was bright yellow for sure. Yeah. Even if it was, even if you were wearing a black shirt, a blue shirt, whatever, I think I still would have seen something there and just gave a little extra. So from your perspective, Roz, because where you were close to the finish line.
Yeah.
Right. And then like looking all the way down the track and then all the way around the corner to where we started. Tell us, take us through what you saw once the gun went off.
It's sort of a blur. But what I remember is that it was very close, but you were going to win.
Yeah.
Right. Like from my vantage point, the trajectory of both of you, Shem was not going to catch up. Right. Mm-hmm. Like he was gassed at the halfway mark where he had sort of, you could tell that he had given everything that he was going to give. Maury,
I have a question. Do you think that the results would have been different if they started in different positions? Shem started sort of, I guess it was on the outside lane. Mocha was on the inside lane. Do you think if they switched, this would have been different?
No.
No.
I think the results would have been different if Shem didn't use the blocks.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, guys.
I agree.
Yeah, I think...
And again,
oh, sorry, you want to do this again?
No. You two fools decided on blocks. But the big sort of problem was is that when we were putting this together, we were like, okay, we know that this is going to be a big show, and we know that the audience is going to be massive for it. But like even the 100 meters in the Olympics, it's like you have to build a show around something that is really going to be like 15 seconds. Like the race itself was, I think, like 13 seconds or something like that. It's like, so how do you build a show? So then we went and Maury got, you know, Ben Johnson and Andre DeGrasse and Rosie and
Penny Oleksiak
and Donovan Bailey. And so we had to build out this show because we were like, okay, we want this to be huge. And we know that it is going to be huge. But then the realization hit that the actual thing is 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you build like 13 seconds? Like, right?
Yeah, how do you build an entire 25 minute show around that?
Around that. And so that was the sort of best part of all of this was building an entire show around, you know, what wound up being, I think, 13 seconds.
A couple other things to note is that, yes, throughout the entire time, Shem and I had microphones on us once we got dressed. Mm-hmm. We had microphones on us. The clangy noise that you heard at the end after I won is because at the finish line, I had my King Crown hat. At the finish line, inside of the hat was my oversized gold chain.
Right.
So that's what you heard clanging around.
Who's a champion? Who's a champion? I am the king. I am the king. You see the crown on this hat? I am the king.
How does that feel?
It feels normal. Because I told you I was a champion. I told Shem I was going to win. I knew this was going to happen. I told everybody. Yeah.
The one part of the race, now that I think back as well, that kind of messed me up that I was not prepared for.
Okay.
Is the curve.
Yeah. The curve.
Because when you're running at 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you hit that curve.
Yeah.
Like, if you go at 100, you have to, like, stay in that lane perfectly.
Yes.
So for that split second, that 1 or 2 seconds, whatever, I didn't know what to do. So I get to the corner and I actually like slowed down a little bit and then had to give a little bit more energy once I hit the straightaway to take off. And then obviously seeing Shem creeping up,
the thing with the curve, right, is that at first I was like, no, because it had to be 100. It couldn't be anything other than 100.
Yeah.
And then when we realized that you guys had to run starting around the bend, it became problematic, one, for filming.
Uh-huh.
But it became problematic because we wanted to sort of, again, maintain the integrity of the race. That was always the number one thing, is just to make sure that the race is pure. And it started off to be a problem. But then I remembered back to Donovan Bailey and Michael Johnson, who there was after that Olympic Games, Donovan Bailey won the gold medal in the 100. And historically, after the 100, whoever wins the 100 at the Olympics is given the title of fastest man in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But that one year, Bob Costas, after Michael Johnson won the 200 in record time, Bob Costas said, well, if you take Michael Johnson's time and divide it by two, then you can figure that he would beat Donovan Bailey in the 100. But realizing that the measurement that he took for Bob Costas was Michael Johnson's second 100. So he was already at full speed when he hit that.
Yeah,
and there was this massive controversy.
Right.
And then so Michael Johnson and Donovan Bailey decided to race. And they had the race at Sky Dome in Toronto. Mm. And they decided on 150. But in order to do 150, they had to start around the curve.
Oh.
Okay, so I was like, historically, this has been done before. It's been done on a giant stage. Donovan Bailey and Michael Johnson did it. And then Michael Johnson realized 10 meters into it that he was about to get smoked by Donovan Bailey, and he pulled up and didn't even finish, right? It was a crazy race. Right. But so I was like, okay, if Michael Johnson and Donovan Bailey started around the curve, Mocha and Shem can certainly start around the curve, right? So there was precedent before it. It wasn't that unusual.
What I'm curious about is who in your, like, what do the people in your lives all think of the race? Like, think before. Do they have any predictions? Like, we know what Cruz thought. We know what my parents thought. What about you guys?
100% of the people I know said Mocha.
Oh, damn. Okay.
100% of the people in my life said me as well.
100% of the
except
people,
for my son and my wife.
Yeah, 100% of the people said Mocha, and I'll tell you, because we had a conversation very, very early on where I said that every man at a point in his life realizes there's a big realization where you hit a wall, and that is where you realize, oh my God, I don't have the body and I am not the person I was when I'm 19. That realization usually happens in your mid-30s when you try to do something. I'm sure that that realization for Mocha happened a few years ago, but I don't know if it had happened to you yet, Shem. And I said that realization may happen to you on race day on that track, where it hits you, and that's when you realize I'm not that guy anymore.
Yep, and it did.
And it did.
I'm 36 years old.
That's when it hits you. Damn it, Maury, by the way, a lot of people very concerned about your wheeze when you were running back and forth between the dressing rooms.
Well, I'm still here.
Yes. Barely. Barely. And by the way, we should tell people, that was not that far. Like, Mocha and Shem, their
rooms
were
like beside each other.
They were like maybe, I would say like what, like 30 feet? Maybe? Like,
yeah, but it was constant start, stop, start, stop. So in fact, I worked out more than these two clowns.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is your plan now that this is over? Are you going to maintain the training, guys, at all? Like, did you get a spark for sort of running at all? Like, did this change your life?
I got to say, for me, it's actually been really it's been inspiring in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. Because I've received a lot of like body shame type comments.
Yeah.
Ew, you're gross, you're fat, tear ACL type comments. But Jesus. I will say this, it's really sort of motivated me to, you know, get more active and stay active, you know, take the stairs as opposed to taking the elevator, that type of thing, right?
And I can show you a thing or two.
Oh my God. I know, and it's weird because one of the biggest body shamers was your own mother.
That's true. Right?
Bad belly. That stomach.
Yeah, exactly. Stomach. So the only place you run is to the bathroom.
And my dad added the kitchen afterwards.
So good. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this exclusive podcast. It is race day here. We just recorded after everybody sort of calmed down and we all got back together. But wanted you to have a little bit of insight into everything that went down and the sort of integrity that we had for this race, just so it was as pure for you guys listening to it as possible. And we hope we did a great job.
Yes, runner, runner, winner, winner, winner is me, King Mocha.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Shem, just say you're the loser.
He doesn't have to.
No, he's got a medal,
I got
that,
a medal
says
that says it, man.
And by the way, so the medals, Mocha's medal just simply reads runner, runner, winner, winner, winner. And Shem's medal, the only thing it says is loser.
Wear it proud, friend. Wear it proud.